Chodesh Tov. So we're on Kuf Tes Amud Beis, and we're about halfway through the Amud. A little bit below Tosfos Dei Ramaskel Lo Im Amarta. And let's just review the last point that we made, because we sort of ended the shiur the other day sort of hanging in the middle of a sugya, which we didn't complete. What are we talking about? We're talking about a Kohen who has to bring a karbon, and in addition to bringing a karbon, he may have other financial obligations and penalties that he has to pay. Now, you can talk about a Kohen who has to bring a karbon without any financial penalties. For example, if he violated the Shabbos, Chas v'Shalom b'Shogeg, so he has to bring a karbon chatos. There are no financial penalties. But you can talk about a Kohen who stole money from a ger. This ger died. The Kohen had taken a shvua. The shvua is a shvua sheker. And in that case, when he admits his crime, he has to pay a keren and a chomesh, which is handed over to the Kohen, to what's called the Anshei Mishmar. And that Gemara derives from a pasuk. Now, in addition to the penalties, he's got, also has to bring a karbon asham. Now, does he have rights to claim, well, look, the meat of the karbon, the basar karbon, the ar, or the hides of the karbon, they belong to me. Why? Because I could be sitting on the other side of the table. I could also be a member of the Anshei Mishmar. In fact, if it's my karbon, then the law is that a Kohen, when he brings his own karbon, he has a right to trump the Anshei Mishmar, even if he's not a member of that Mishmar, and demand that he do the avoda, he bring the karbon, and he gains the R and the boss of the karbon for himself. So that if a Kohen has these rights when he brings his own karbon, even if he's not a member of the Anshei Mishmar, then in this case, where he's Chayev Keren Chomesh and Asham, he should be able to say, well, I want to claim my rights, my ownership rights to the basar and to the or of this karbon, because it's my karbon, insofar as he himself is the gazlan. So we have a case of a Kohen who's a gazlan. Now he's bringing his karbon as a kapara. He wants to claim ownership over the or and the basar. And yet the Brisa seems to indicate that he cannot do so, that since he's not a member of the Anshei Mishmar, He doesn't have the right to trump the Anshei Mishmar. He's got to pay this to the Anshei Mishmar, and they take over the karma. So the Gemara tries to reinterpret this Braisa and suggests that the Braisa is talking about a case where the Kohen is Tameh. And since he contracted Tumah, he cannot bring the karma for himself. What gives the Kohen special rights to the Basar and the Or? The fact that he himself could trump the Anshei Mishmar and say, well, I have a schus, I have a right halakhically to bring the karma, but that only applies if he's a tar. If he's a tameh, he doesn't have rights to do so. So if you recall, this was the last thing we discussed on Thursday, I guess, right? The Kohen, if he's tameh, that doesn't fit into the Lashon HaBraisa. Why? Because the Braisa says that the Kohen is claiming davar sheyeshli chelik bo. How could the Braisa use that language of davar sheyeshli chelik bo, that I have rights to this karbon because I could bring the karbon and it's my karbon, I get the rights to the karbon? How could you say that if he's a Kohen tamei? So therefore, the last thing that we discussed was the Gemara now backtracks, reverses itself, insists that this Bryce is certainly talking about a Kohen who's Tahar, and that's why he's yelling and screaming that Dover Sheishli Chelik Bo, that I have a Chelik in this Karbon. But nevertheless, he has no rights to own the Karbon. And that's based on a Gzeirah Shava to what's called Steachuza. Ella, the Asya la Kohen Mistei Achuza, that there's a parsha in the Torah at the end of Sefer Vayikra, in which the Torah uses the word la-kohen, and here also in our parasha, in Sefer Bamidbar, in Perkei, the Torah also says la-kohen, la-shem la-kohen, in the case of a gazlan who stole from a ger, and the ger died without any yorsh. So what do we have in Steachuza? So let's talk a little bit about Steachuza. Steachuza is a sada that a person inherits from his ancestors through the generations. And the Torah granted him special rights that he should be able to get back his sada. If he can't get back his sada, if he sells it, let's say, for example, the period of time passed, he may, as an act of religious piety, he may be magdish the sada. Now, let's say he makes the sada into hegdesh, so is his steachuza now becomes hegdesh. Then the halacha is that the gizbar representing hegdesh could now sell the sada. Now, keep in mind, this sale of the gizbar has a twofold meaning to it, or significance to it. On the one hand, it's a mechira like any other mechira, and the buyer now acquires ownership rights over this sada. On the other hand, that mechira also serves as a pidyon, in which the buyer no longer has what's called an isur me'ila or anything of the like, because it loses its status as hegdesh. But the Torah wants to know what happens with this steachuza at Yovel time. And the law of Yovel has a very unique impact on steachuza, and therefore what happens is that even if the gizbar sold a steachuza to Ploni Almoni, whoever that person might be, then comes the Yovel and the sadeh reverts back not to its original owner, but to the Kohanim. Okay? It goes to the Kohanim. So if you take a look at the Sanya, the Brisa says the following. Achuzoso ma Talmud lomar, minayim l'sodeh, meaning a stay achuza, hayotzo l'kohanim biyovel. That if this sodeh at the end of Yovel goes back to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim here means the Kohanim in the Anshei HaMishmar. So amongst the many financial benefits of being an active Kohen, meaning if he's working in that week or two as a member of the staff of the Anshei Mishmar, one of the financial advantages that accrue to him is that together with his colleagues on that Mishmar, he has rights, ownership rights, to this Sada, this Steachuza, that whose owner was Magdish, and then the Gizbar sold it to Ploni Almoni. That sale to Ploni Almoni from the Gizbar on this Sada Hegdish, which is a Sada Chuzah, is only valid up to, but not beyond, the Yovel. With the Yovel, the Sada goes back to the Kohanim in this case, and the Kohanim now own this Sada. Now, what happens if the person who purchased that Sada was a Kohen? He himself was a Kohen. And now, during this period of time, from the purchase of this, from the Kohen's purchase from the Gizbar up until Yovel, let's say there was a 10-year period, I'm just throwing out a number, he, this Kohen, was in possession of the Sada. Now comes Yovel, and the Torah says that this Sada has to revert to the Kohanim. Which Kohanim? The Kohanim of the Anshei Mishmar. So this Kohen comes forward and he says, wait a minute, I'm in possession, what are you going to do? You're going to take the Sada out of my possession in order to give it to the Kohanim? Well, if I would have been a member of the Anshei Mishmar, as one of the members of the Kohanim, I myself could receive ownership rights over the Kohanim. So why do you take it out of my possession and give it to the Kohanim? I have rights as a Kohen to this Sada. So minayim l'sada hayotza l'kohanim biyovel ugi'ola echad min ha-kohanim. How do we know that this Sada, that with Yovel, it goes back to the Kohanim? Even in a case where the Geula means a Kinyan, the Kinyan of the Sada was to one of the Kohanim. And now, this Kohen works it out such that he really locks out, such that he, at the moment of Yovel, is a member of the staff that's working in the Beis HaMikdash. He's a member of the Anshei Mishmar. Minayin Shelo Yomar. How do we know that the Kohen does not have rights to say Hoil? V'yotza lakon in Yovel, since this Steachuza now is going to revert to the Kohanim, meaning the Anshei Mishmar, at Yovel time. Varehi tachas yodi, I was the one who purchased this field. Teheshali, it shouldn't be divided equally amongst the other Kohanim on the Mishmar, but I'm the member of the Anshei Mishmar. I have rights, together with my colleagues, to be Zoche in this field. And since I have those rights and the field is in my possession, don't take it out of my possession, leave it in my possession. And that's how we'll be Mekayim, this mitzvah of reverting the Sada back to the Kohen. Tosus has a whole to do over here. He asks, there's a principle in Talmud Chomer called Dial of Amin Adin Lios Kinadun. And it's true that you would have rights, together with the Anshei Mishmar, to get a portion of this Sada, but not to inherit the entire Sada. Why does the Kohen think that he has rights to inherit the entire Sada? Okay, but let's make life simple for ourselves. At least as far as his chelek, b'toras, one of the Anshei Mishmar, let him get that chelek. Vidinu, b'stei, b'shel acherim. If, let's say, another individual had purchased this field from the Gizbar, and he was towed to the field, he was Israel, he wasn't a Kohen. Is ani zoche, says this Kohen, I could be zoche as a member of the Anshei Mishmar, because I'm a Kohen, is b'shel atzmi lo kolshkein? How much more so does it make sense that you should leave the field in my possession? Because even if it wasn't in my possession, it was the possession of some Joe, I would be zochah in this field as one of the Anshei Mishmar. Talmud Lomar, the Torah goes out of its way. In the end of Vayikra, Parshas Bahar, it says, kistei acherem la Kohen, tia achuzoso. And what does this mean? Tia achuzoso. The Torah wants to say achuza shelo. The Torah wants to say that even in the case of achuzoso, meaning where the Kohen was the one who purchased it, the einzu shelo, and the Torah is calling it a stecherim, which means that it reverts back to those who inherited the field as the Kohen. Haketzad. So what do we say? Yotza mitachas yado umischalekes lechol echov hakohen. We take it out of the possession of the Kohen, even though again he had possession of the Kohen. He was the one who was goel the Sada. He purchased it from the Gizbar. Nevertheless, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us achuza shelo v'einzu shelo, that it only an achuza belongs to this Kohen, if he had inherited from his father, but here he didn't inherit it from his father, he didn't get it through the generations, and therefore it's not shelo, it's not achuzoso, and therefore einzu shelo, meaning we take it out of his possession and we divvy it amongst the Kohenim on the Mishmar. So now the Gemara says we have a gzeira shava, because here in this parsha it says la Kohen, and in our parsha of Gezel Ager, it also says la Kohen. So we're making Zer Shava la Kohen, just like in Steachuza, the field is going to be taken out of the possession of the Kohen to be divided up amongst the Anshei Mishmar. So too, in the case of Gezel Ager, the Gzela itself has to be taken out of his hand, and it has to be divided amongst all the members of the Mishmar. So that, Rabosai, was just a tag on to Thursday's Shia. I'm sorry that it took a quarter of an hour. That was the quarter of an hour that I was missing last Thursday when they banged for Mincha. But now we can start another part of the Sukkah.
Can I just ask you, the reversion of a Sada to the Kohanim at Yovel, isn't that purely just for the Kohanim then to reallocate it to Am Yisrael?
Not that I know of. It could be Alpha, you know, something that I don't know. But to the best of my knowledge, it becomes it's one of the Chof Dalet Matnas Kahuna. You know, we have to support the Kohanim and figure out how to. It now becomes their private possession.
So what happens at Yovel then?
At Yovel, the Steachuza goes to the Kohanim. If it wasn't a Steachuza, we go back to its original owner. So let's say Reuven owned the Steachuza. And then if he wasn't Magdish it, let's say he sold it, so that field would go back to Reuven at the time of the Oval. But since Reuven, instead of selling it to a citizen, a private citizen, he was Magdish it, now the law is that if the Gizbar sells this Steachuza to someone else, the owner, the original owner Reuven, who owned the Steachuza and was Magdish the Steachuza, he's out of the picture. And now who steps into his shoes and replaces him? It's the Kohanim of the Anshei Mishmar at the time of Yovel. That's the parasha of Stei Achuz. All right, let's go on, Rabosa.
After Yovel, they could resell it.
Absolutely. There's no Kedusha to this son. They own it as any other field is owned. It's a Chefetz Shel Mamon. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, now we're talking about the schus of Kohanim in their own personal karbonos. Minayin lekohen sheba umakriv karbonosov. If, let's say, for example, a kohen violated the Shabbos, chas v'shom v'shogin, and he's chayav achatus, and he comes to bring his own karbon, is the law is b'chol esu b'chol shashi yirtze, even if he's not a member of the Anshei Mishmar, nevertheless he can bring his karbon. And in that sense, he trumps all the other members of the Anshei Mishmar. How do we know this? Talmud Lomar, I'm going to read the whole pasuk to you. It says, V'chi yavo alevi me'achad sharecha mikol Yisrael asher hu gar sham uba b'chol avas nafsho el hamokom asher yivchar Hashem. And then the pasuk concludes, V'sheres b'shem Hashem alokov kechol echav halevim ha'omdim sham lifnei Hashem. So what this means is that according to this brisa, from the parasha Dvarim Yudches, we derive the conclusion that he can come up to the Beis HaMikdash and he could do the sheres, he could do the avoda like all his brothers, meaning his colleagues who are omdim sham lifnei Hashem, who are in that mishmar. Okay, so fine. Okay. Now we know that he has rights to do the hakrova.
But only his own?
I mean, only his own karbon. He's not a member of the mishmar.
I understand, but how do you derive that from the pasuk?
Because the pasuk says that uba b'chol avas nafsho, meaning he comes from wherever he's coming, he's not working in the mikdash. And then the Torah says v'sheres. And v'sheres, after it says kechol echav ha'omdim sham, means that v'sheres, he does the avodah of the karbon, and that's b'chol avas nafsho, if he decides to do so, even though there are other kohanim who are omdim sham lifnei Hashem, meaning those are the Anshei Mishmar. So you have again the following scenario. This Kohen is not a member of the Mishmar. He's up in Sipori, and then there are Kohanim in Yerushalayim that are Omdim Sham Lifnei Hashem. The Torah says that as far as this Kohen is concerned in the north, he's in Tzipori, wherever he is, and he violated a Chiyuv Chatos. He brings his carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Torah says that Kiyovo, when he comes, Me'achad Sharech means from one of the cities, Mikol Yisrael, Asher Hu Gar Sham, where he lives. And then it says, Ubechol Avas Nafsho, if he desires to do so, Vishereis, he can do the Sherus. Sherus is a reference to the Hakrova. And it says, Kichol Echav Omdim Sham Lifnei Hashem. Again, you have to know why the pasuk uses the word Levi when it's referring to a Kohen. That's not for us now. Minayim sha'avodasa v'ora shelo. How do we know that not only is the avoda his, but even the schar avoda is his? Now, what does that mean by schar avoda? Sort of like wages. When a kohen does the avoda, then we pay him for it. What does it mean? I mean, we don't know that a kohen gets a salary, but what he does is he gets a chelik in the karbon. He gets the R and the boss of the carbon as a sort of payment for doing this avoda. But the Gemara
even is an osho.
Speak again.
Even is an osho. Isn't the whole idea of an osho to be deprive yourself of what you're bringing to the Beis HaMikdash?
Well, again, the parts of the carbon he's not going to get, but he does have rights to those wages that are paid, so to speak. And I'm using those terms loosely, liberally. for the avodah himself. In other words, there are two halachas. The halacha number one is that the kohen can do the avodah, meaning he comes, pushes aside the other kohen and say, I'm going to be makriv this carbon because it's my carbon, despite the fact that I'm not on duty. And number two, just like any other kohen who does the avodah, gets schar avodah. What's the schar avodah? He gets to take those parts of the carbon that are not sacrificed on the mizbeach, correct? He gets the basar and the or. He says, this kohen, that I want to get the basar and the or because I did the avodah. How do we know that even though he's not a member of the mishmar, not only can he do the avodah, but he gets the monetary rights that emanate from the avodah? Talmud Lomar, and this is from a different parsha, and there it says, v'ish es kadoshav lo yeh. And the Bryce is going to ask, why do we need this pasuk? It seems to be superfluous. What does it mean, ish es kadoshav lo yeh? When a person brings kodshim, it's his. Ha ketzad? What was the scenario that the Torah was referring to when it says, ish es kadoshav lo yeh? Ha ketzad? What's the chiddush of this pasuk? Lo yeh, meaning that the R in the basar is his. Im haya bal mum, nosna lekohen sheba oso mishmar, but the avodasa the ora shelo. In other words, there's a special kiddush of lo yeh that applies even when the kohen could not do the actual avoda, and that's going to be the case of a balmum. So let me try to explain this the best I can, and I'm going to use the shita of, just one second, is it the Rambam or the Rav? I just want to get this right. Rashi here quotes two opinions, and that's going to be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rav. Rashi at the bottom of Kuftes Amid Beis says im haya balmum, that why do we need this pasuk of lo yeh? And the answer is because the kohen cannot actually do the avoda. If the kohen can actually do the avoda and he's bringing his own karbon, then the Gemara says that he is able to trump all the other kohenim insofar as he does the avoda, and not only that, he should be able to get the schar of the avoda, which is the basar and the or. That we know. But what happens if the kohen is bringing his own karbon? You know, he's coming again from Tzipori with his karbon chatos or an oshim, whatever it might be, and he's a balmum. And a balmum is not allowed to do the avoda, he's possibly avoda. However, he is royal achila. A balmum is not excluded from eating the karbon. He's not like a tomei who cannot eat the karbon. This is a special law, but here in the case of Balmum, he can eat it. So Rashi writes here, and then he changes his mind, Hoil v'hu roi l'achila, since this Balmum, although he's not roi l'akrova, but he's roi l'achila, see the one line up before the end of the page, is therefore Karinan Bey, he's included in the pasuk, the ish es kadoshav lo yeh. So the chiddush here is that since he has rights to eat the karbon, it's as if he did the avoda of the karbon. In other words, the achilas hakarbon is an extension of the avoda. Like, for example, the Torah says that Kohanim ochlim ubailim miskaprim. The kapara is not totally clinched by the zrikas hadam of the karbon, but it's clinched by the achila. I'm just giving you an example. I'm sure there are more fundamental proofs for this, but that's one proof that the achila is part of the akrav. So what happens is, in the case of a balmum, he's got sort of a halfway measure here. And the nafkamina is going to be whether he has monetary rights to the schar here of the kohen ha-oved. He's not the kohen ha-oved, but he's the kohen ha-ochel. That's the split personality here in the case of a Kohen Palmut. And Rashi says in his first pshat, before he changes his mind, Rashi says that since he's Roy Lachila, that's enough of a participation in the Avoda to Echomrim Baglit Lezakototo, to what word can I use? To entitle him, excellent. To entitle him in the Avoda, in the Schar, which means the Bosar and the Or. In other words, Rashi says he's included under Ish Es Kadoshav. Because the word Kadoshav in Rashi's first pshat is interpreted as the Achila. He's considered the Baal HaKarbon to trump all the other members of the Mishmar. And why is he the Baal HaKarbon? After all, he's not doing the Avoda, so why should he get the Schar for it? The answer is because he is eating the Karbon. And the Achila itself engenders the status of Ish Es Kadoshav. And Lefichach says Rashi, Avoda v'ora shalo. I think the word Avoda means the Schar Avoda, meaning the Basar. What is this little hay over here? Just 1 second. That's something else. Okay, fine. Lashon Acher. Now Rashi brings a second girsa. Garsinon. Again, it's a whole nother girsa. And this is the Rambam Shita. Is Avoda, which again means the Basar here, V'ora li'anshe mishmar. Just the opposite. According to this text, which is not our girsa in this form, but Rashi quotes it, and this is the Shita of Rambam, the anshe mishmar in this case of a Balmum have rights to the Or and the Basar. So in other words, when it says Ishas Kadoshav lo yeh, according to this girsa, Kadoshav means that it's Kadoshav to the Kohen HaMakriv, not the Kohen HaOchel. And the Nafkamina is going to be this case of a Balmum. So therefore the case Im Hoya Balmum is Nosna LeKohen Sheba Oso Mishmar. In other words, the avodah is going to have to be done by the mishmar, and then the avodasa viora lioso mishmar, according to that girsa, the second girsa, not the way we have it, the avodasa viora shalo. And the girsa that we have is the shitas harayvid, and the machlokas shin the Rambam and the Rav, which is brought down here in the footnote, is in Hilchas Klei Hamikdash Perek Dalet Halacha Ches, and according to the Ravid, he says the following, that the Kohen HaMakriv here cannot represent the Kohen who's Chayav in the Karbon, because he's a Balmum. And therefore, he doesn't become the Baal Avoda. I'm sorry, the Baal HaKarbon for the Avoda, for the Basar. Why is he not considered the Baal HaKarbon? Because he's not the Makriv. I let him appoint a Shliach amongst the Anshei Mishmar and say to him, Rabbi Yud, Rabbi Cohen, can you be my Shliach? So the Ravid says that since he's a Balmum, and he himself can't do the Hakrova, therefore he cannot send a Shliach to do the Hakrova. And the Rambam has our girsa apparently, and he holds Kevan diavodasa viora boim harehem lemisha avad befoel velo. I'm sorry. So just 1 second. I think I got the names mixed up here. According to the Ravid, I'm sorry. I got it mixed up. The Ravid is the one who has our girsa. And the Rambam, what did I say before? Maybe I got it right the first time. But anyway, I got it wrong at some point. So just to try to correct myself for the record, the Ravid says that despite the fact that he is a Balmum and he's not qualified to do the Avoda, nevertheless he can appoint a Shliach to do the Avoda, and therefore he becomes the Baal HaKarbon and he gets the R and the Basar because he is what we call Ishes Kadoshav Lo Yeh, and if the Girs is Vyavodasav Yora Shalo, Shalo meaning of the Bala Karbon, the one who was Chayiv the Karbon, came from Tzipori. And the Rambam objects, because the Rambam says, how can you call him the Kohen HaMakriv? He can't appoint a Shliach, because he can't do the Avod itself. If he can't do the Avod insofar as he's a Balmum, therefore he cannot appoint a Shliach. I'm just guessing here, the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, which is also Machlokas between the two Girsos of Rashi, really revolves around the following issue. What's the status of a Balmum as far as the Avod is concerned? Does he have no Kedushas Kuhuna at all in Hilchas Avoda? And therefore it's impossible for him to appoint a Shliach? It's like Yisrael, who Yisrael doesn't have any Shliach, because he can't be called the Baal Avoda through a Shliach, because the Yisrael is Mufka from the Avoda. So the Rambam understood that a Baal Mum is Mufka from the Avoda. It's a psul in Hilchas Kedushas Karban and Kedushas Hakrav of a Kohen HaMakriv, and therefore Shlichus is totally out of place. Or do we say no? Do we say that a Baal Mum is sort of a temporary blockage, meaning right now he's excluded from the Avoda, but it's not what you call Avkos HaGavra. You know, it's not that he has no Shaykhus to the Avoda. He can't do the Avoda befall, but he has the potential Kedushas Kahuna as far as the Avoda is concerned, and therefore he can appoint the Shliach. So again, we have two different ways of reading this Gemara. All right, now we're going to go over to Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. Now this Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph is going to support, in my humble opinion, the Girsa of the Rambam, the Girsa Shnia, the second Girsa of Rashi. Why? Because look at the Brisa. The Brisa says V'im Haya Zaken Ochole. Now watch what's going on over here. The case of a Zaken of a Chole, if this Kohen coming from Tzipori is an Alta Yid and he's weak, he certainly is Roy Lakrova. Less mind the polling, he's Roy Lakrova. And probably if he has the energy to come in from out of town, he could also have the energy for Lakrova. But in this case, he can't eat the karmon. He simply physically can't eat the karmon. Like all these shilas about the matzah, you know, for an older person who never he's holy, can't eat the matzah. What do? Do you crush it? Do you cook it? Do you soak it? You know, these are one of the most difficult shilas to answer about how a chole or a zaken can fulfill the mitzvah matzah. He can't eat the matzah. And here too, he can't eat the karmon. Nevertheless, you would say that since he is royal avoda, he maintains his status as the bala karmon. Nevertheless, the Brisa says avodasa viora li anshe mishmar. There doesn't seem to be any question about the girsa here, as far as I can tell. The girsa is absolutely clear and universally accepted. Now, according to the shita of the Ravid, that the Ravid said about Mum is just a temporary blockage, but fundamentally he's shaykh to Akrova, and therefore the Kohen HaMakriv is his shliach. And since a Baal Mum is allowed to eat the karbon, therefore he gets the R and the Basa. So again, according to the Ravid, when I want to determine who is the Bailim of this karbon as far as the R and the Basa is concerned, all I have to introduce is Shlichus. And if that be the case, I don't understand why in the case of a Zokin and a Chole, with a Kal V'Chomer from Baal Mum, he should certainly have the Avoda and the Ora. Let me present my question a slightly different way. Bishleim, I understand this Gemara very well according to the Rambam. The Rambam says that if the Kohen coming in from out of town is incapable of the Akrova, correct, then he's not the Bala Karbon. Yeah, but the truth is, even according to the Rambam, it's difficult, because here he's incapable of Achilas HaKarbon. Just one second. So I guess what we're saying is, you see, I can only make a little bit of progress here. As far as the basar of the carbon, let's focus on the basar. I don't know what I'm going to do with R. R seems to be a purely monetary issue. But as far as the basar is concerned, so even though the zakin and the chole are capable of what? Of eating the basar, but nevertheless they are incapable of doing the akrava. And the Rambam Shita is that you cannot become the Baal HaKarbon unless you're doing the avoda, or alternatively you set up a shliach to do the avoda. But the Rambam Shita is that you cannot send the shliach to do the avoda if you yourself can't do the avoda. Meaning, according to the principle of the Rambam, as an absolute rule, there's no shlichus if the mishalech himself is incapable of implementing the maisa. And you and I would have said that incapability of doing the avoda has to be a halachic incapability, meaning a psul al pidin. No, the Bryce wants to tell you that even if al pidin he can do the avoda, but physically he is prevented from doing the avoda because of his what word do I want to use? What's the word for those, you know, those parking spots that you're not let us park in? What?
Handicapped,
right? If because of his physical handicap he can't do the avoda, then the Rambam says he's no longer considered the Baal HaKarbon, and therefore the pasuk that says the ishas kadosh of lo yeh doesn't apply. It's not lo yeh because he's not doing the avoda. So the primary zchus or rights to the avoda, which means the basar of the avoda, is to the Baal Avoda. I would have said, if not for the Rambam, well, he's the Baal Avoda because he appoints a shliach to actually implement the avoda on his behalf. The Rambam saying if he's handicapped and physically he can't do the avoda, then that itself is mafkia shlichus, and therefore he's not considered the Kohen HaOved, and if he's not the Kohen HaOved, he doesn't eat the basar. But according to the Ravid, that the Ravid's girsa was that even a Baal Mum, who cannot do the Avoda because Al Pidin is Mufka from the Avoda, nevertheless, he gets to eat the basar, then Kal Vachomer, much more so in the case of a Chol and a Zaken, who halachically is included in Avoda, he can do the Avoda, then how much more so should he be able to appoint the Shliach? There's something counterintuitive here in the Ravid Shita.
That's what Rashi said.
So let's see how the Gemara analyzes this, because, you know, everything that I told you is going to now come to the fore. Hai zokin ochole hechi dami. Maybe we should interpret this zokin and chole a little bit more precisely. Either matzi ovid avoda, if he's actually capable of doing the avoda, then avodasa viora nami tehevi didei, then certainly he should have the rights to the basar and the or, because he can do the avoda. And if he can do the avoda, he could also appoint the shliach to do the avoda if it's hard for him to do so, but he has the capacity to do the avoda. V'idu lo matzi ovid avoda, if he's so handicapped, he's so weak and old that he can't do the avoda, no way, no how, then shliach hechi mashve, how could he appoint a shliach? You can't do a shliach for something that you can't do yourself. And again, even though the reason he's blocked from the avoda is not because of some halachic status, but because of his handicap, nevertheless, the Gemara insists that it's enough to remove his status of a shliach. And once again, we still have the cash on the Ravid, why the Ravid says in the case of a Baal Mum, he can set up a shliach. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, what's the case in the Brice of a Zokin Achole? Sheyochol lasos al yedei adchak. In other words, the halacha very often differentiates between two types of actions. There are actions that you simply can do, and there are actions that you cannot do unless you push yourself beyond the precipice. For example, in the case of achila, sometimes I'm full, but I can still eat something. And sometimes I'm so full that if I ate something, you know what would happen. You know, that's called achila gasa. So the Gemara wants to know what happens if we have a situation of a kohen who is a zokin or a chole, and it's almost impossible for him to do the avodah, but you know, if he pushes himself beyond al yedei adchak, then he can do the avodah. Yachol lasos al yedei adchak. Dechi ovidlei, if he would have pushed himself and done so, al yedei adchak, avodah he. Meaning, it's not like achila gasa, which is not does not qualify as an achila. It is an avodah. And therefore he's considered a bar avodah. He's a bar hachili avodah. And therefore, mashvi shliach, he can appoint the shliach to replace him. And achila dechiochel al yedei adchak, achila gasa hi. V'achila gasa lav klum hu, u'mishum hachi avodosa v'yora le'anshe mishmar. So again, as far as avodah is concerned, we would assume that he could appoint a shliach for the avodah. And in that sense, he, like the case of a Baal Mum according to the Ravid, can appoint a shliach for the avodah. But that's not enough to give him monetary rights to the basar. For that I need, as we said before, the clincher of the avodah. And the clincher of the avodah is the achila. In the case of the Baal Mum, according to the Ravid, since he's capable of achila, that itself gives him rights. He's entitled, there are rights that accrue to him insofar as he's capable of an achila. But here, in this case of a zaken and a chole, we would have to compare his achila to that of what we call an achila gasa. Again, achila gasa is not the case of a person who's full. You know, he's kidei svia, now he wants to push himself to eat more. He's already pushed himself to eat more. And at some point, it's just impossible for him to digest, to take down any food. And at that point, if he takes down food, that's called an achila gasa v'lav shmei achila. And the sheet of Rapapa is that a zokin of a chole who has reached that point in which, although he can push himself to do the avodah, there's no way that he can eat the basar. In that case, his achila would not even be considered an achila. And therefore, if he's not considered a bar achila, mishum hachi avodasa viora li anshe mishma. Again, don't ask me the question about the ora, because that requires a lot more research. I can just explain the avodasa, which means the achilas habasar is his. And why is the achilas basar his? And the answer is because he is capable of achila, and that's true in the case of a Baal Mum. But in the case of a chola zaken, for him achila is impossible. And even if he were to eat it, it would be an achila gasa. I mean literally, but it would be comparable to an achila gasa. And therefore would not constitute an achila. I have here a footnote that Tosas Divrei Maskil Achila claims that sometimes you'll find in Shas that the phrase achila gasa is used liberally. It's not to be taken literally. For example, he has a Gemara Nazir that says that if you eat the Karban Pesach, an achila gasa, you fulfill the mitzvah of achila asa Pesach. Says Tosfos, there it means that he's already full, he's satiated. V'eino ochel asa Pesach lite avon. However, eino kotz bimizono. It's not absolutely impossible for him to take down more food. He still can squeeze in a little extra room in his belly. And that's just called an achila she'eino l'teyavon. That constitutes an achila in kol ha'tar kula. But the real, you know, the nitty-gritty achila gasa is way beyond that stage when he would be kotz bimizono. If a member of the Mishmar is Tomei, is Bikarban Sibur Nosna L'chol Mishi Yirtze. In other words, the law is that a Kohen who is Tomei, with regard to the Hakrava of a Karban Sibur, is allowed to be makriv a karbon tzibur, but he's not allowed to eat the basar of the karbon. Notice the Torah was matir the akrava of a karbon tzibur, that's dochet tumah, but not the achila of the karbon. So what does he do now? Normally the kohen amakriv has rights to eat the basar. Says Rav Sheshes, avodasa v'yora liyanshe mishmar. He will decide who will do the... Just one second. He can either opt, because he has the halachic permissibility to do so, to do the hakrava, or he can opt to ask another kohen to represent him and do the hakrava. But as far as the basar and the ar are concerned, since he doesn't have any shaykhus to achila, right, because the Torah was not matir the lav of tameh eating basar kodesh, even in the case of a carbon sea, but the Torah was only matir what? The akrova, but not the achila. So he has no shaykhus to the achila, and therefore the rights to the ar and the basar automatically revert to the Anshei Mishmar. That's Rav Sheshes. Hechi Dami. Ide Ika Tahorim. The Gemara says, if amongst the members of the Anshei Mishmar there are others who are Tahorim, is Tmeim Mi Matsu Avdi? Can the Tmeim do the Avoda? In other words, what is this business that you're telling me that since he could do the Avoda, since he's a Tamei, and the Torah was Docha Tuma for the sake of a Korban Tzibur, therefore he can appoint a Shliach, and he can decide who will do the Avod in his place, that makes no sense. Since they're Kohanim Tahorim, then the Tmeim have no right to do the Hakrova. This is what we call Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur, not Hucha B'Tzibur, but Dechuya. Dechuya means that we're going to step aside and allow a Kohen to be makriv bituma for the sake of the tzibur, but only if there's no choice in the matter. There's no other option. But here, that the Braisa, excuse me, that Rav Sheshes assumes that the Kohen Tomei, in the case of a Korban tzibur, can do the avoda, can do the akrova, or alternatively, he can appoint the shliach to represent him. How could it be there are other Kohenim in the Mishmar who are tahorim? And the Torah was not Docha Tumah in the case of Tahorim, then therefore, by process of elimination, we have to assume Idaleka Tahorim, that all the members of the Anshei Mishmar are all Tmeim. Now, if that be the case, how did Rav Sheshes say Avodasa V'Ora Lianshei Mishmar? In other words, that they'll eat the Basar, is Hatmeim Ninu V'lo Matzi Achle, even for the sake of the Tzibur, there was never a heter for a Kohen Tomei to eat Basar Tomei. So how could this Karban be eaten, Bituma, even if it's a Karban Tzibur? So again, I'm not sure what the Gemara is saying here at this point. What's the law in a case of a Mishmar of Kohen that's made up totally exclusively of Tmeim? So what happens to the Achila in such a case? The Torah was matir the akrava, but the Torah wasn't matir achila. So I'm not exactly sure what happens. I have a feeling, I suspect, that in this case, we're going to invite other kohanim, maybe from the next mishmar, and they will eat the basar. I'm not sure. Omar Rava. Rava says the following. Truth is, let's go back to your assumption that in the second possibility, that there are no tahorim, which means that what? That all the members of the Mishmar are tmeim, correct? Oh, but says Rava, Ema lebali mumim tahorim shebaoso Mishmar. That this Mishmar is made up of two groups. One group are tmimim. Tmimim means that they're healthy in body, they're complete. And therefore, if they're all Tmeim, they could do the Hakrava, but they can't do the Achila. Then there's another group in this Anshei Mishmar, and they are the Mumim. The Mumim can't do the Hakrava, but they can do the Achila. And therefore, they're going to make a sort of a partnership here, a split. We'll split the job. And the tameim who are tmimim, meaning they're not mumim, they'll do the hakrava. And that's because tumah hutra b'tzibur, meaning that the Torah was docha the iser of a tamei to do avod in the case of a korban tzibur, and there are no members of the mishmar who are tahor. However, you're going to ask, then what about the achila? If they're tmeim, they can't do the achila. So I said, let's ship it off to a different mishmar. Rava says, no, we can keep it in house within this mishmar. How's that so? Because there are bali mumin tahorim in that mishmar, which means they can't do the avoda, but they can do the achila. Amar Avashi, im haya kohen gadol onen. If I'm moving a little bit fast, it's because I'm not a bucky in kachin. So, you know, I really wanted to teach Bava Kama, but Bava Kama is mamish a classical example of Talmud Bavli. You know, it's bol min hakol. There is so much kachin in Bava Kama that I feel like nobody should be learning Bava Kama until they first learn kachin. Amar Avashi, im haya kohen gadol onen. Okay, now here's the deal. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do, I'm sorry, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be metame to any of his krovim. However, he does have the status of an onen. And what's the story with a Kohen Gadol who's an onen? So the answer is that if the Kohen Gadol has to bring a korban and he's an onen, that means he lost one of his close relatives and they haven't been buried yet. So the law is that even though an onen is possible, but in the case of a Kohen Gadol who's an onen, and that we learned from the parasha of Aaron on the Yom Shmini, right? The Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the avoda. Now, if he doesn't want to do the avoda, Rav Ashi says, Nosna l'chol kohen sheyirtze. He could appoint a shliach. And the reason he can appoint a shliach is because he himself could have done the avoda. Because a Kohen Gadol is allowed to be makriv a korban. This is based on a pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Aleph. It says, Li'aviv u'li'imo lo yitame, u'min ha'migdash lo yetze, v'lo yechalel. And the Gemara says in Zvachim that even Bani Nuso is he still b'kedushaso, because it says umin amigdash lo yetze. It means he can do the hakrava, the avoda, and even though he's an onen, his hakrava is valid and it's kosher. Oh, but now what happens? The avoda viora li anshe mishmar. Now, even though he could be makriv as an onen, but yet the Torah only allows him to do that krov. The Torah never allowed him to do the achila. This is very similar to the case of the tmeim in the anshe mishmar with regard to a korban tzibur. They're allowed to do that krova, but they can't do the achila. So to a Kohen Gadol who's an onen, he can bring his korban, he can do the avoda, the krova, he can appoint the shliach to do it on his behalf, but he cannot eat the basar. And as we said before, the eating of the basar is what gives the schus of the Kohen Oved to the ar and the basar. Here in this case, since the Kohen Gadol is an onen, he's excluded from the achila, and therefore the Anshe Mishma take over as far as Achil is concerned, and they have rights now to the Basar and the Or. Maika Mashmal, and the Gemara says, what is Rav Ashi teaching me? At Tanina, we learned it in a Braisa. Kohen Gadol Makriv Onen V'eino Ochel, meaning Onen. V'eino Cholek, right? And he doesn't get part of the Basar Kodesh. Lechol La Erev, meaning in the evening after they bury the dead, he's no longer an onen. So maybe at that point we should allow him to eat the basar. But the answer is no, because when the hakrava was done during the daytime, he was still an onen and he didn't have rights, he didn't have permissibility to eat the karban. And since he didn't have permissibility to eat the karban, he already forfeits his rights to the karban in favor of the anshe mishmar. So the Braisa has already established that clearly the Kohen has no shaychus to achila or anything that is incurred by achila. So the Gemara answers, Salkedaitachamin, if I only had this Braisa, I would have said, without Rav Ashi, ki chas rachman alei the Kohen gadol lekruvehu. When the Torah has, so to speak, compassion on the Kohen and allows the Kohen to do the avodah, even though he's an onen, that's only as far as his doing the hakrova. Aval l'shavuye shliach lo motzi mashve kom mashma. The chiddush of Rav Ashi is that the Kohen Gadol is an onen. If he decides not to take advantage of the opportunity, the permissibility to do the avod himself, if not for Rav Ashi, I would have said he cannot appoint a shliach to replace him as far as the hakrov is concerned. Kom mashma lo, and that's what Rav Ashi wants to tell us, that no, he can appoint a shliach as far as the hakrov is concerned. Now, Rabosai, I frankly don't understand what the Havamina here is. What does it mean, L'shvuyei shliach lo matzi mashve? Why not? Why can't he appoint the shliach? So the only thing that comes to my... Yeah, John, what do you want to say? The only thing that comes to my mind is that since we said before that there's a unit of avoda that's comprised of two parts that form one whole, one package, namely the avoda plus the achila, if the achila is the clincher of the avoda, since the Torah never permitted the Kohen Gadol Onen to eat of the meat, therefore I would assume that he's not considered in the full sense the Baal HaKarmon, and therefore he cannot set up a shliach to do the avoda. The Torah allowed him to do the avoda, and if he wants to take advantage of that, that's fine. If he doesn't want to take advantage, then it falls back to the Anshei Mishmar, and they'll decide who'll do the avoda. But he, the Kohen Gadol, has no rights to decide who's going to do the avoda. There's no shlichus over here because he's not really in the full sense of the Baal HaKarma. Kamash Balon Rav Ashi is teaching us, no, he's still considered the Baal HaKarma. Okay, Rabosai, now we get back to Bava Kamma. So the Mishnah now is a hemshech of all the Mishnais that we had until now. A person steals from his friend, he takes a shvua, and he confesses his crime, he has to pay Keren V'chomish. What happens if the Nigzal dies? So the Keren V'chomish has to be paid to the Yarshin. Our Mishnah wants to know, if the Nigzal was a ger and he died without Yarshim, what does the Gazlan do with the Keren V'chomish that he's chayev? And the answer is, as we've seen in the past, from the Mishnah, from the Pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Hay, that he has to pay the Keren V'chomish to the Kohanim. Hagozel Sager, V'nishbalo Umeis, Harezim Mishal Keren V'chomish, La Kohanim, V'osham La Mizbeach. So he pays the Keren Chomesh to the Kohanim, because there's no Yoresh, it's a Ger Shemes without Yorshim, but the Osham he brings on himself to the Mizbech Shenemar, and this is the parasha there at the end of Perkei of Bamidbar. It says, "Ein lo ish goel lo hashiv ha'osham elav." Hashem, he has a reference, as we'll soon see in the Gemara, to Keren V'chomesh. It's Hashem Amushav La Hashem La Kohen Milvad. In addition, El HaKippurim, he has to bring his korban Hashem Asher Yechaper Bo Ol. The Mishnah now tells us, Hoya Ma'ale Esa Kesef V'esa Hashem. He's on his way now, this Gazlan to Yerushalayim. He's doing penitence, right? He's doing tshuva. He brings the Keren V'chomesh in order to pay it to the Kohanim, because he stole from a Ger Shemes, and he's bringing his Osham to Yerushalayim, Umes, and now he himself, the Gazan himself, dies on the way to Yerushalayim. So what do his Yarshim do in this case? They don't have any responsibility, neither to bring a korban nor to pay Keren V'chomesh. But on the other hand, let's say the Gazlan during his lifetime had already paid the money, the Keren V'chomesh, to the Kohanim. So the halach is the following. Kesef yinasein lebalav. I'm sorry, Lebanon. Meaning that if the Gazlan, the father, did not, who lo espik, he didn't get a chance to pay the Kohanim, then there's no chiyuv, the Kohanim have no rights to demand from the Yarshim that they pay the Keren V'Chomish, because the Keren V'Chomish now becomes part of the Kapara of the Yarshim, and they, the Yarshim, have no chiyuv Kapara. But let's say the Gazlan during his lifetime had already separated and designated, you know, the isle, you know, as a carbon asham. What do we do now? Because, you know, with the Misa, with the death of the Balak carbon, there's no one to be chayev and to bring the carbon. So here the case is, the law is for asham yireh ad sheyistayev. We let this animal graze around until finally it becomes a balmu, the macher, and then it can be sold for its value. The yiplu damav, what happens to the damim of this karban asham that was sold after it became a balmum? To whom do the monies accrue? And the Mishnah answers, the yiplu damav linidava, right? There was a certain treasury in the Migdash that was designated for Nidava. That's called Olas Nidava. The question is when a tzibur is allowed to bring an Olas Nidava. But whatever it is, where do they get the funds from to buy this Nidava? They get it from something that's called Keitz HaMizbeach. And the Keitz HaMizbeach was money that was collected for the purpose of Korbanos Nidava. Not Korbanos Chova, that's a different treasury, but Korbanos Nidava. So what do we do with a carbon that the owner of the carbon died and we have no way of bringing the carbon? Now it became a balmum and we sell it on the open market. Where does the money go to? And the answer is the money goes to the Keitz HaMizbeach for Korbanos Nidava. That's number one, where the Kesef was never actually forked over by the Gazlan to the Kohanim. But Nasana Kesef Lianche Mishmar, if before he died, the Gazlan already transferred the money, the Keren and the Chomish, to the Anshe Mishmar, the Kohanim now have possession over this money, Umes, and now the Gazlan dies, he hasn't yet brought his Karban Asham. Is Ein HaYarshim Yecholim LaHotzi MiYadam? The Yarshim can't say, wait a minute, we had no chiyuv to pay Keren V'Yasham, just as we have no chiyuv to bring the Korban Asham. Give us back our money. We want a rebate on our money because you're holding on to money that really belongs to us. We have Zchus Yerusha. And the answer is no. Shenemar, the pasuk says, V'ish Asher Yitein LaKohen Lo Yeh. If a person gives this money to the Kohen, lo yeh means it belongs to the Kohen, and that's it. It's irreversible. In other words, this payment is one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna, and it belongs to the Kohen. Once it's given by the person who's obligated over to the Kohen makes a full-fledged possession, a kinyan, on this Keren V'Chomesh, and there's no way, no how, that the Yarshim can demand that this Keren V'Chomesh be paid back to them. What time is it now? Do we... 1:15. All right. So the last part of the Mishnah actually stands on its own. So I don't feel so badly that we didn't finish the Mishnah, but Lineta will finish it next time. What's today?
Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday. So we'll finish it, Lineta, on Thursday. Okay, then? We'll stop here for a minute.